From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of still, like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Well, we were kicked out of the Kickstarter room. Is that a coincidence or what? This week we're recording out in the tap room in the hot seat. Boy, it's sunny. The wind blew in some sun, Walt. Blew those clouds right out of here.
Yeah, Adam's got sunglasses on.
Pretty cool ones.
Those are very cool,
cool guy,
sunglasses.
Iron Man sunglasses. I found them in Mark's desk drawer.
Nice. Well, hey, here we are on another episode of Beers with the Brewers. With us today, Adam Benner.
Hello.
Walt Keyes.
Hey.
Chris Helderman.
Hello.
And me, Mark Richards. Talking about Flute Brute IPA. It's dry, kind of white grapey, Chardonnay-like maybe. Melon and complex. Ooh, complex.
Yeah, I'm getting all that.
I would say it would be more, I don't know, Chablis-like than Chardonnay.
White grape?
Ooh, Chablis. Like a Carlo Rossi Chablis?
Are there white grapes out there? I'm
yeah, there's white grapes out there. What are you talking about?
Aren't they green?
I mean, green grapes make white wine.
Mm. Well, you got to go there.
I was just wondering. I didn't know if I was missing something.
All right. White wine grapes that may sometimes have a tint of green to them. How's that?
Well, I mean, I think they are green in color.
Yeah, and they turn kind of yellow if you make raisins out of them.
Yeah.
This is why we can't have nice things, Chris. We know about tacos, Chris. You were just talking about some lake fish tacos.
Yeah, I would.
Some lake fish.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is the closest thing we have to seafood here in Ohio, I think.
Lake food.
I'm excited.
I don't think I'd go with lake food. That sounds real gross.
Hey, you got some of that lake fish there?
We're going to go to a lake food restaurant.
I think the preferred nomenclature is freshwater fish.
Caught right here in the good old Lake of Erie.
Lake food.
Yeah. I really enjoy a walleye taco. Put some coleslaw on that. You're good to go.
What kind of beer are you battering with that? Taco. Some Flute Brute?
I probably wouldn't use Flute Brute. That's a bit fancy for a walleye taco.
Wasteful.
You know, whatever single beer you got in the fridge, that's what I normally go with.
Maybe an Urban Sombrero.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
lager would be good.
I'm always just grabbing that one that I think is just slightly out of code that I don't want to drink.
It's exactly what you do.
It's cooking beer.
Yeah. What about chili?
So one of my favorite things to do is to get a nice can of cheap chili and a nice cheap box of Jiffy Corn bread mix and throw the can of chili down, the Jiffy Corn mix on top of it, and you throw that in the oven per the baking instructions on the Jiffy Corn mix. And it comes out with a delicious, delicious treat.
That is generic as it gets, and I sound delighted by it, though.
So this is like Hormel, like
style chicken? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it is the classic wife is out of town, it's kind of cold out, and I actually thought about dinner.
Yeah, I like that.
Seems like something you'd take to a Super Bowl party.
Yeah, you can eat that for the whole week.
That
could work there. Because you got all your food groups there.
Yeah, you got cornbread.
You got the bread and the
canned
meat
food.
And the red sauce.
Just get a little lake fish in there, and you got a whole rounded meal.
Balanced meal. That lake fish.
Adam, how did it go at Trivia Tuesday night?
I had a good time last night at Trivia. Our team was bad. It was pretty tough. I mean, it is known as the toughest movie of trivia in Columbus, and it was living up to the name last night. We didn't turn in the first two questions. Had no idea.
No. It was that bad, huh?
We weren't too good, but we were playing with the bar. We did get a few right. Didn't make it to the final three, but... Hey, we had a great time nonetheless.
Was Molly Ringwald involved in any way on any of these movie questions?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
And we'll talk to Travis about that.
Yeah, this past week was Love and War was the theme.
Yeah, because tomorrow's Valentine's Day. That's a good, you know what that is? This is a great segue to talk about our upcoming events.
There you go.
Ooh, Valentine's Day coming up? I wonder what Molly's doing tomorrow.
You know, aforementioned, this is a movie trivia. That's every Tuesday now, at least through March. every Tuesday. We got MoviePass Studio 35. We got free popcorn from Studio 35.
Yeah. The popcorn's delicious.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're looking for something to do Tuesday nights, you might as well put this on your calendar, make it a thing with you and your friends. Come down, play trivia with us. And then tomorrow, well, today, I guess, if you're listening to the podcast, is Valentine's Day. And if you're
today
listening,
today is Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
And yeah,
what's that mean? Valentine's, is that with an M?
It's Valentine's.
Yeah, that's how.
That's a 30 Rock thing.
That's how you call
it. You listen to this podcast and you are just now realizing that it is in fact Valentine's Day, and you need something romantic and awesome to do. Come on down here for Bay Day. We're tapping our Bay Chocolate Raspberry Imperial Porter. So sweet, delicious, strong. Live music from Starlight Ways and our friends from Mellow Confectionaries. They're down over by North Market. They are coming and doing some chocolate pairings. They make really fancy, high-end chocolate stuff, and it's delicious. So come down here. We got you covered for beers, for chocolates. You can get some barbecue, you know. Make a date night, Land Grant. Easy peasy. And if you don't have a date, come on down and enjoy the music, enjoy the beer. Maybe you'll meet a date. I don't know. And so beyond that, Defend Our Beer. The Defend Our Future group is coming in for Defend Our Beer on the 27th. That's going to be a discussion about impacts of climate change, clean water, and environmental protections on the most important thing you can do with water, beer.
Mm.
And then, looking all the way ahead to the latter part of March, the last few days of March, we're going to be launching our second annual Beer Garden movie series. And we're going to start it off with two golf-themed movies to sort of celebrate the return of greenskeeper season.
And the Masters coming up. Leading up to the Masters.
And all that, and nice weather and all that fun stuff. And we're going to kick that off with Happy Gilmore on the 27th. And then the following week, we're going to... show everyone's favorite golf comedy, Caddyshack.
I saw some of Caddyshack last night on NBC Golf after the hockey match.
It's a good one.
Oh, man. What a great movie. Yeah. Just hilarious. Never gets old. Never gets old.
Goonga Galunga.
Goonga Goonga.
Yeah. Goonga Galunga.
So put that on your calendar and you'll have that going for you in late March.
Yeah, thanks, Noonan.
Everybody's favorite greenskeeper, Bill Murray, was... in the Pro-Am this past weekend at Pebble Beach, for those of you who tuned in.
Get out of here.
It was pretty funny.
You never know. Bill Murray might show up for the film festival.
Yeah. He shows up.
He's
at
that
all kind
of guy.
Kinds of random
so
places,
you won't know
yeah.
unless you come or read about it on Instagram.
Walt, did you get any Valentines yet?
I did not. I saw you got one from Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Pickles down in Athens, Ohio, sent me a Valentine's.
I saw Margo working on something when I left this morning, so I might get a Valentine. We'll see.
That's awesome. Chris, what about you? You think you're getting a Valentine this year?
I was informed we are exchanging Valentine gifts tomorrow afternoon.
Mm. There you go.
Get your schedule. Just have to show up for it.
It's true.
It's not bad.
Anyone traveling for the big holiday?
Traveling
well,
north.
One fun thing to do on Valentine's Day is drink champagne out of a flute. So let's
what
talk about Flute Brute
Flute
IPA.
Brute.
Well, just this episode is just full of segues.
Seamless transitions is the name of the game.
Mm.
Chris, what do you know about Brute IPAs?
Brute IPAs. I guess they started out in San Francisco with the brewer Kim Sturdivant. I apologize. The head brewer at Social Kitchen and Brewery. And so basically what makes an IPA a brute IPA is it's very dry. That's what brute means, is very dry. That comes from champagne. So if you get brute champagne, that means it's very dry. If you get...
brute aftershave?
Yes, brute dry. Aftershave makes you very dry.
Big fan, yeah. That's an old timer.
Yeah.
Would actually be true because it is it's alcohol-based. So when you put it on, it would dry out your skin.
I prefer a Jovan Musk.
Oh, there you go.
To my aftershave, but
wow. When was the last time you shaved, Adam?
It's a good question. I think I accidentally shaved where I was trimming on the wrong setting.
Probably
2 or 3 years ago. I think it happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Last time I shaved with a razor was March 2003.
Wow.
Coming up on. 16 years.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Your beard can dry.
I was going to a I was going to a sorority formal at Miami University and shaved.
There you go.
Look at that.
Now your beard's fancy. Can get its driver's permit.
Shout out to Lindsay Hook if you listen to this podcast.
Well, there's absolutely no brute aftershave in this beer.
No?
That is not even close to what makes it dry.
Can you prove that?
So how do you dry it out, Chris? Where does that come from?
So,
if you're not using aftershave, how do you dry it out?
Typically, we like to use aftershave. However, when you're fresh out, now we use an enzyme called glucoamylase or amyloglucosidase or AMG. They're all the same thing.
No, I like that AMG. That's a good one. Easy.
There you go. That's Mark for you.
Yep.
But what that does is, so the enzymes that are naturally present in your malted barley are, that do the same thing this does is predominantly, beta amylase. And what that does is chops your starches up into typically maltoses, two, sugar compounds, where starches are, you know, thousands of sugar compounds. And what this does is it chops them up into single compounds. They would, most likely be glucose. Or dextrose, if you prefer. And that means the yeast can eat all of those up. So yeast can eat up to three sugars long. Maltotriose is the biggest thing they can eat, and they break that down. But if we just give them all simple sugars, they can eat all of them, and you actually get your, for all you home brewers out there or people who know about specific gravity, the specific gravity of this beer is zero. So that's pretty cool.
Nothing left.
No sugar left.
No sugar left at all.
So when you kind of talk about the simple sugars in other beers to kind of dry them out, you may add like a dextrose, like a corn sugar. That's more of that simple. Is that a similar?
So with the malted barley, you typically end up with a lot of what are called dextrins. And those are just things that are over three sugars long. And so those, some people say those give a beer, you know, a good mouthfeel, and they can have, some good flavor aspects, I would think. There hasn't been too much research showing that, but I know, like, if you're looking at drinking our concentrate, that's got a lot of dextrins left in it. Your big imperial stouts, those typically have a lot of dextrins left in them, and argument has been made that they produce a decent amount of mouthfeel. But yeah, when you take some of that malted barley out of the malt bill and put sugar or honey or anything that's a simple sugar like that, or heaven forbid corn syrup.
Uh-oh.
What? I hear that's popular from the Super Bowl.
That would dry it out and you would get a much less sweet, much drier finish on it.
So it's a way to increase the alcohol easily and cheaper is how kind of on that side. Whereas this is breaking down those complex sugars that are present because of we're using all malt and breaking it down even more than the yeast can.
Yes. And well, more than our original enzymes that are in the barley. I don't know which way is cheaper at this point, because we get our malt at a pretty good price, and I'm guessing I really haven't done the cost analysis on it, but people have been using sugar in beer for forever, just to make it give it different flavors and everything.
After seeing that Super Bowl commercial, I bet the shipping on that was just off the charts because they just kept taking it to a different place and reshipping it, that huge barrel.
It was a big barrel of corn syrup.
Very big barrel. Yeah.
And didn't they mean to, like, say high fructose corn syrup? That's the bad one.
But everyone just associates it. Oh, no, it's corn syrup. No, it's high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it just might have been corn syrup. It might not have been. I don't think it is high fructose corn syrup. I think it's just...
High fructose corn syrup would really do nothing in beer because the reason you want the high fructose is it actually tastes sweeter than glucose. Mm-hmm. And so you can use less of it and you can get a sweeter product. But, there'd be no reason to use high fructose corn syrup in beer because the yeast would just eat it.
Yeah.
Add this in the mash and also you could add it into the fermenting beer.
So I believe we add it in both places, and we add it in the mash, and that kind of helps kickstart everything and make sure, you know, we can get hopefully greater efficiency out of it. But then we can also add it in the in fermentation, and that really allows us to make it bone dry. Because once you put that into the boil, the enzyme denatures and it no longer works. So we have a slightly cooler mash than we're used to, because how enzymes work is they keep getting faster and faster and faster the higher the temperature goes until they basically fall apart and denature, and then they don't work anymore. So once we cool it back down, we can add more, and that ensures we get zero.
It worked.
Yeah. But I guess a lot of people have been using the same enzyme to do bigger beers like Russian Imperial Stouts and stuff, where they don't want the thickness that they get from their malt bill, but they still want to use that malt bill for all the other things you get from it. I don't know, but my guess is they would use that in the mash, and that would give you a little more control over it.
What are the statistics here on our Flute Brewed IPA?
Flute Brute, we got an ABV of 6.8 and IBUs of 28. Like most of our recent IPAs, and is the trend, we're throwing most of the hops in the back end. Keep that bitterness down, but the flavor up to 11. Yeah, maybe 9
wow.
on this.
Look at that. I see what you did.
But very simple malt bill, just our base malt. And so it's based off of an earlier brew called Trips Right. If anyone comes in here and drinks all of our beers.
Well, that's a good one. I like that beer.
So we pretty much doubled the hops in that. Well, there was 3 hops in that, all German hops, Magnum, Holmelin, and Hallertau Blanc. Magnum was just for bittering, and since we took bittering out of this, we just have Holmelin and Hallertau Blanc. Holmelin, as you can kind of guess, has a nice melon character to it, and some honeydew. Some people get ripe strawberries out of it. And then Hallertau Blanc, a lot of white wine grape flavor and aroma coming off of that. I think they meld together great to give a very, I would say, dry Chablis-type character. Mm-hmm. Those of you unaware, Chablis is just Chardonnay that has not been oak-aged.
Oh.
Yeah, very clean.
Wow, it's turning into a wine podcast.
Yeah.
A lot of good flavor to it. I'd say this is the opposite of... appearance-wise, of that concentrate we were talking about last week. It is crystal clear, mm-hmm. like you'd want, very effervescent, dry.
Yeah.
Really good all-around beer. So dry that we finished that pitcher, so Mark, I got a question for you.
Too dry?
How dry is it? Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Have you ever been too dry?
How is
it? Don't forget to bring a towel.
Awesome reference. I don't know. How many do you think Tally could soak up? An honorary crusher.
If he was, is that how he just soaks up liquid? That's how he crushes.
Yeah, he's a towel.
Yeah, that's
true. Towel.
You're a towel.
This 6.8, it's a 4 crusher, but that's tough at 6.8.
That's a rough crush right there.
I'll take a three. I'll take
rough
a
crush.
Yeah, I think take a 3. Maybe a 2.5.
I'd go 2, wanting a 3rd.
Yeah, probably 3.
3 seems safe.
Yep. Yeah, we'll go 3.
How about Tally? Great. Tally's going to give it all 6 because he just clean up whatever
he just has no real control over it. Just absorbs what he absorbs.
All right, without any math, I think it goes like a 2.48.
Sure, yeah.
2.48.
Thanks,
that
Tally.
Comes together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you're down here at 424 West Town Street,
on Friday, tapping this Friday.
Yeah, so, or the next Thursday, or Saturday or Sunday, what would you pair with old Ray Ray's Hog Pit?
Meat sweats.
The whole box.
The whole box that you're going to crush. What's the crushability on a meat sweat box?
Oh, man, I saw a table of 4 and 4 boxes, and they were just about destroyed.
Was there a pool of sweat next to them when they were
done?
Man,
I'll bet.
Meat sweats is the perfect thing for a group of people that are coming here, and everyone wants a little something, but no one's super hungry, but you're here and you want to try Ray Ray's.
I say you get a couple
you got 3
fries.
Or 4 people, get some fries on the side. I mean, that's what we did. We were down here on Saturday, and that's what we did with a group of people. Like, everyone had kind of eaten, but everyone was like, wanted to nibble on something. It's perfect. It is like the perfect thing for just casual tap room hanging, or if you're just really hungry and want to eat a whole bunch of delicious barbecue, that's good too.
Sample around.
You know what I'd pair with it? The old Vinny special. I think that would go great with this.
And that's like the fries with the stuff all over it?
Yeah, if you order a Vinny special, you go up to the, we may have mentioned it before here on Beers of the Brewers, but you say, give me a Vinny special. They'll load up a boat of fries.
And then they physically remove you from the premises.
A boat of
then,
fries.
And then they throw some Carolina chopped pork with some coleslaw on top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious.
And if you're nervous about ordering an off-the-menu thing, you can just order those things separate and combine them all yourself, too. But you could save it. They'll know what you're talking about.
It's awesome. Well, this beer will not be packaged into cans. This is a draft only, so you'll be able to see it around town, perhaps at some local drinking establishments or restaurants
in the
Columbus area. And who knows what the future will hold. Could find out. Makes it to a can sometime. We did have a question from a listener this week.
Yeah.
Andrew Ward.
Yeah.
From Instagram.
Yeah, he got us through Instagram with a good question.
When you barrel age a beer, he says, how long do you usually leave it in the barrel? That's a question. Also, after a certain point, it is aged, and leaving it any longer won't yield much different results. That's the second question. And finally, man, three questions. What is your favorite LG beer that you barrel aged?
That's three t-shirts right there.
Classic three-part question. I think you only get one t-shirt.
Yeah, one t-shirt. Three questions.
You can have
one t-shirt, but
three t-shirts cut into thirds so that they make one t-shirt.
All snip, snip.
Snip, snip style. Amber will chop them up.
Amber will cut it up for you. Make some fringe on
you. Sew them together yourself. We'll get him one t-shirt.
What would you think, Chris? Got any opinions on that?
I am not the barrel guy, however, I do know a little bit. So I'm going to go back to front there. What's my favorite LG beer that we barrel aged? Definitely Dropout Stout.
I'll tell you the least favorite beer that we've barrel aged. And that was Stiff Arm in a tequila barrel.
See, that was just a fun beer.
And it reminded me.
It was fun to make, I'm sure.
And orange juice.
It all depends on what your idea of fun is.
It wasn't great.
It was fun to make, but was it fun to drink?
It's
some people liked it, though.
We think that barrel had some Brett in it. We've actually have Batch 300 aging in that barrel right now.
Oh,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah, so that might make an appearance sometime. It might not, too.
Curious, yeah.
I'd go with Dropout, though. It's my favorite.
That's a good pick. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Walt's taking forever.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning about. Did we do a coffee in barrel? Or am I just imagining
you that? Were dreaming of that one.
That was a dream.
That sounds good. We should do that.
At some point, we've had some barrel-aged bay running around. I know that was your favorite beer.
That's hard. That's a sweet treat right there. I don't know. Yeah, Dropout. I don't know.
Right.
It's unanimous. Barrel-aged, it's on in the tap room today.
We did barrel-aged
Son of a Mutter. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, we did barrel-aged can opener.
Yeah, that was a weird one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the whole idea on that beer.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
But going back to how long do we leave it in the barrel... With doing release dates and things, ideally we would be tasting these barrels all the time and releasing them when the beer is ready. And sometimes we try and do that. Other times we have a release date already and we do our best guess. Typically we either do 6, 9, or 12 months. And if we have the luxury of picking, we pull it off as soon as it's ready. After a certain point, has it aged? You get different flavors depending on how long it's in the barrels and how many times the barrels have been used. So if you get fresh barrels, you're going to get a lot more of the bourbon, or we typically use bourbon barrels. You're going to get a lot more of the alcohol character out of them because the beer is sucking the alcohol out of the staves. You'll get a lot more of the vanilla and... what I would consider the more delicate flavors of the barrel. If you have a second-use barrel or a third-use barrel, you just get less of those, and it takes longer. You don't get as much of the I don't know, the classic barrel flavors that you're used to. I would say the six-month beers we age have been the best. Dropout was 6 months. After that, they can start pulling things out you don't necessarily want. And this goes for clean beers, that meaning no, they're not sour. Clean beers, typically a year is about all you want to do. If you have, don't have very much temperature control in the back, so sometimes it's really hot, sometimes it's really cold. So that also comes into play. If you have temperature swings a lot, you can actually get them out sooner.
Yeah, and even I think Son of a Mutter, we only aged maybe a month or maybe two because of the low ABV on that beer.
Yeah, you typically do higher ABV beers, and that just helps out with them not getting infected with lactobacillus or any other creepy crawlies running around in your barrels. Sour beers, that's a whole other topic, but they go through weird changes throughout their entire life in a barrel. So,
great question.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew Ward.
Thanks, Andrew Ward. Come get a t-shirt. See us in the tap room.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a dropout.
Yeah.
Hey, next week on Beers with the Brewers.
Bon Peel.
Bon Spiel. Yeah, typo. A little typo there.
Oopsie
on the notes,
daisy. But
yeah, let me get my notes there. It's actually Bon Spiel Porter. The return of Bon Spiel Porter. And be having a little curling talk. We got a visitor next week. Secret. Special guest coming from the curling club.
Secret.
So,
yeah, secret guest. And if you're wondering why we're having someone from the curling club on for Beers with the Brewers, and you don't know what the word Bon Spiel means, it's that beer is named. Or should I save that for next week?
No.
Should I tease it, or should I just tell people?
Find out next week.
Yeah,
but
find
it
out
has
next
something.
Week what the hell Bon Spiel means and why we have a curling. Curling person on the podcast.
Or you could Google it this week.
Hint, hint, they're related.
Yeah. Oh.
It might even be a curling reference.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It might even be.
Wow, you guys are really. This is a radio tease. I mean,
spoiler
wow,
alert.
To be continued.
Continued. Tip your bartenders.
Peace. Yeah.
T-O-W-E-L. Y-E-Y.
I'm just an ordinary towel in a lot of ways, except for one.